Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Pure Nintendo Podcast. My name is Gemma, and this week I have with me the one and only Kirk. Welcome back, Kirk. How are you?
I'm good. Pushing towards the end of the summer at this point, I think.
Really? Yeah, I guess so.
Kids are getting ready for school again, you know, preparing, getting people back to college. And
yeah, whereas here in Australia, we're preparing for spring, so that's nice.
There you go.
Quite the opposite. And it's just the two of us today, so just the two of us on the show. So we've got quite a bit to talk about, though, as always. And I wanted to start off with some news items. And the first thing I want to talk about, it's going to sound a little bit like a broken record because it's the Switch, the successor that we talk about it periodically because everyone is, you know, clamoring for information. They want to know when the new Switch is coming out. The Switch itself is 6 years old now. But there were lots of rumors this week that seemed a little bit more solid than usual. Have you seen these? Did you read much about this?
I read a couple. I'm sure there are many that I missed, but I did follow a couple news items on it to see what people are talking about.
Yeah, same. And so we're getting kind of slightly more specific time frame, I suppose. They're saying it's our second half of 2024 type of release schedule they're looking at. And from what I've read, this is all rumors until Nintendo actually, announces something. It's all speculation, but it seems like more and more sort of, reporters or whatever are saying there's dev kits out there now for certain companies that have a dev kit, which I don't know if that's true or not. But a couple apparently have said they have. And I don't know what the timing would be like. I don't know if you know. If there is a new system coming out, say, in 12 months, at what point do developers get a dev kit? Because they would need time with the new system, right?
I would think so. Yeah, you would need quite a bit. I guess it's possible that they may have games in development where then Nintendo says, hey, hold on. Here's a dev kit for the new system. Why don't you just push that over to this? So, you know, games and development just get moved over and they get to relax because they're hopefully going to have a stronger processor and they can, do more with it. But yeah, if there is a dev kit out there, it's been out there for a while and we're just now finding out about it.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. So it's interesting, and I think the conversation will continue for the rest of the year, probably until Nintendo does announce something. As we've said before, you know, the timing is everything. It's like you don't want to time it poorly. You don't want to announce something at the wrong time when Switch sales are still going well. And the next kind of news item that I had on the list was that Nintendo did just announce their latest sales profits or sales, data, which was for the June quarter. So I suppose that must be April to June. Is that how they measure it, I guess? And it was a 50%+ increase year on year from the last June quarter from last year. So they're doing really well. And I mean, some of this can be attributed to the Mario movie as well as The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, which did really well in May. So there's a few factors there that aren't necessarily for the Switch itself. The Switch, I think they projected something like, was it 13 or 15 million for the quarter? And they got 18 million, actually. I don't know if you saw that stat, but it seems like they did sell. And again, this Tears of the Kingdom probably did boost that. And they're saying things like Mario Kart have done well because of the Mario movie. So everyone's gone out and seen the Mario movie and they're like, hey, I want to play a Mario game. So that really helped.
Yeah. And say it good, because you know, the more money they're making as they are working on the new system. I hear people talking that they may delay the system because why push a new system out there when the other one still continues to sell really well? But I don't know if Nintendo would approach it that way. My thought has been they are, I guess I read that it's about availability also of the hardware. They don't want to have a PS5 sort of launch where nobody can get it, because the hardware is just not out there. So being able to having the Switch sell really well as it is right now is allowing them to maybe give it a little more time so they can get more of the new system in stock. So when they do launch it and they do make it available, that it's not impossible to get a system.
That is an excellent point. Yes. I think Nintendo is, I think they would be more considered that with that approach, you know, thinking about availability. I know they had shortages of things like the Wii and even the Switch earlier on, but I think that was more just because it was super popular rather than, you know, hardware issues, right?
Yeah,
remember the Wii was sold out?
we didn't have the supply chain issues then with the COVID and the excuses everyone's making now.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, that's a really good point. I think it's definitely a good thing if they can make more of them and have more time to even just get it, you know, get it right, tweak it, make sure it's running properly. They don't have things like Joy-Con drift issues or other things. I did actually, here's a question for you, because I was talking to some friends during the week and one of them said he thought he sees the Switch as kind of part of the Wii and Wii U sort of family, right? Like almost like a evolution, like a continuation of that series, if you will. And he was hoping that the new Switch or whatever successor wouldn't be a Switch 2 or a Switch Pro or a Super Switch. It would be a completely new system and a departure from that previous three, that iteration, I suppose, if you think of it that way. I suppose we're thinking movement, I guess, is the key attribute that links those three together. What do you think about that? Do you think, A, do you agree that those three are family? And B, do you think the Switch will continue in that vein or depart from that vein?
I don't know if I would consider them family. I can understand that point of view because there's a logical jump from the Wii, which was just a console, to the Wii U, which was kind of like the console handheld hybrid, you know, provided you kept it close so you could actually use it, to the actual, now here's one that is both console and handheld, and you don't have to have it attached to anything else to use it in handheld mode. You could take it wherever you want. But when I also look at what the Switch is versus what the Wii was, that seems to me like it's a completely different console. So if you remove the Wii U from the equation and look at those two, there's a big gap in what those two are doing. So I don't consider the Switch to be part of that, also because it has a new name. It has a different method of getting games onto the system. But I do understand that train of thought. And if that is the train of thought, then yeah, I could see how you wouldn't want just like a fourth step in that process. Something completely different. But boy, Nintendo nailed it with the Switch. So I can't imagine they're going to want to stray too far from that formula just yet, as opposed to refine it, make some more features available. On the other hand, they don't. I don't want just an upgraded system, you know, that's a little more powerful and maybe actually supports 5.1 audio the way the rest of the world does now, so I can get surround sound. I want a little bit more. I don't know what that is yet. So I'll wait and see as the rumors start coming through. I did see there was a rumor that they're not going to use an OLED screen on the first iteration. They're going, you know, and again, that's for availability purposes and cost purposes. They want to make it as cheap as possible at the start so more people are willing to buy it. And then once they've got it in the hands of millions and millions of users, then we can upgrade it. And, you know, those who want to pay more can pay more. But we've already got enough systems out there to make sure that everybody's developing their games for it. But having an OLED Switch now, I'm going to be sad moving away from that screen when I am using it in handheld mode, if that comes to pass.
So you have the OLED, obviously. Cool. I do not. Now I'm kind of jealous because it does sound nice. I have an OLED TV and an OLED like laptop and they look really nice. So I'm kind of missing out a little bit there. But as I've said, probably for the last 12 months or so, every time I think about upgrading the Switch to the OLED model, I'm like, they're going to announce the Switch too as soon as I do that. Of course, if I had have done it 12 months ago, I would have been fine.
that's the gaming system lottery. Yeah, never know when you get the winning ticket and when you don't.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. That's excellent points again. Yes, I agree. I think Yeah, I can see the chain of thought as well. I think logically they do kind of step from one to the other between Wii, Wii U, Switch. But the Switch is vastly different, as you said, from the Wii in particular. And well, from both, really. Then, like you said, they're both disc-based. This is a cartridge-based system. It's a handheld. You know, it's almost like the DS combined with the Wii, I suppose, to some extent. I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. That makes sense.
Yeah. Either way, they did a good job, and I don't think they would depart too much from that formula, given its success. I mean, although that didn't work for the Wii U, did it? Unfortunately, they tried to build on the Wii's success, and it didn't quite happen. So
right.
They've learned from that mistake. Don't just call it the Switch U or something.
they will have to make it different enough so that people who are on the fence on whether or not to upgrade will make that decision to upgrade instead of sitting tight. So
yeah. Well, I know people I worked with at the time the Wii U came out, and they're not gamers. These people, they did not understand the difference. They're just like, is this a, what is that? Is that a Wii? Do I need to get the Wii to get the Wii U? Like, they just did not understand at all. Like, we knew what was going on because we work in this field. Like, we read about this every day. We play these systems every day. But for sort of casual gamers who are just, you know, not so au fait with it, they just did not. They did not get it at all. And that's what and the Wii was so popular with everyday gamers, like just, you know, casual gamers, as well as fans like us. But they lost that audience big time with the Wii U, unfortunately. So time will tell. But we'll see how we go.
Hopefully just about another year.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Because now we're sort of second half of 2023.
Yep.
We're not too far off. So anyway, is Gamescom, is that this month? Is that August?
It's definitely coming up. A lot of press releases coming out about that. A lot of announcements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did see someone say they thought they might announce something at Gamescom, but I don't think that would be the right time. Do you?
I don't know.
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out when Gamescom rolls around. But speaking of rumors, this is I don't have anything to back this up except that I saw it online and it was cute. But Lego, apparently, the next series of Nintendo-related Lego is Animal Crossing. And again, speculation, rumors at this point, but a few people in the Lego field have jumped onto this and said, yes, this is coming, blah blah blah. I have no idea how accurate it is, so please take it with a grain of salt. But I wanted to bring it up because A, I love Lego, and B, I love Animal Crossing, and I love Mario Lego, and I love all those gaming kind of combos that they do. And I thought, that's so interesting. If that was true, it would be super cute. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think there's a chance?
I think there's a chance. I mean, visually, when I imagine it, I can see it happening. I'd be curious to see how they decide to do it, because the Lego games lately have all been narrative based. There have been stories and quests and missions that you go on, and it's easy to do that all within a story. I don't know how they do that in Animal Crossing, which doesn't have one. So are they going to write a narrative, or is it just going to be you're doing Animal Crossing things, but within a Lego world, which I guess would be the way they'd have to do it. But then is it different enough from actual Animal Crossing that it warrants playing?
True. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That is a good question. But I mean, I suppose the Mario sets, they didn't really have a Lego Mario game to go with them, now that I think about it.
So you're talking about actual Legos. You know what? When I was looking at this the whole time in my head, I'm thinking a Lego video game with Animal Crossing. All right. Now,
but I love that you thought that, because that would be so cool. And I'm just like, why did they not make a Lego Mario game? Because they've got Lego Star Wars. They've got all the other Legos, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a set. Sorry, I should have been clearer. These are Lego Animal Crossing sets.
All right. Yeah, now.
The key word there. So.
Okay. Well, hopefully no one heard my idea and runs with it, because I think it does make a lot more sense as Lego sets. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, boy, being able to recreate that little world and play with it. And I imagine that Animal Crossing is, I don't want to say that Lego is, you know, for kids. It's certainly not. We've seen some absolutely amazing things that, you know, people of all ages have been able to do. But the kids who are into Lego would, I think, have a lot of fun creating the Animal Crossing world that way.
Yeah, I agree. I think so, too. This would be definitely one that would cross over between kids and adults, I believe, because Animal Crossing does have that reach to such an extensively wide audience. And as you say, kids tend to like Lego as well. Like, most kids are into Lego at some point. I think it's a good combination. Again, don't know if it's true, but I could see it working pretty well. From what I read, it was the kind of minifigures would be new, like, you know how do I explain this? You know how a normal minifigure has a head, you know, like the classic yellow Lego head?
Yep.
With this, yeah. But something like Sonic has like this new head. It's like a molded head. It's a Sonic head, right? So the animals would be the same as the Sonic type of heads. They wouldn't be yellow with a little additional piece, like instead of hair, they wouldn't have a little helmet that makes them an animal. It would be completely new minifigure heads, apparently. So there'd be a lot to collect. You know, you can imagine all of the different animals that there are. A lot like those Amiibo cards. Oh my gosh, there's so many of those. I started to collect them, but it's too much. I'll stick to Amiibo.
there really were.
Yeah, they're cool though. I wish it was, if this was the 90s, I would so be collecting those. Like, if I was a kid in the 90s again and they were a thing, I would be like all over that.
Well, I wonder what would be more fun then too. Like, if you played Animal Crossing and created your little island, just completely rebuilding that whole thing exactly the way it was in the video game, but within the physical Lego landscape.
Yeah, that would be. I could see some people really going to town with that.
Yeah.
I mean, people spend a lot of time in the virtual world of Animal Crossing. Would they dedicate that much time to a physical version? Some people probably would. Yeah.
And then you'd have to get the aquarium set.
Yeah. And, oh, the gosh, there's so much. You have to get, I don't know, Tom Nook's shop and the museum and, there'd be so much to add to it. I don't know. We'll see. I think it'd be cool. They were saying it would come out next year. I think I've said this before, I think August and January tend to be the Lego release dates for new sets. So maybe it'll be around this time next year. Who knows? Mario came out in August when it launched a few years ago. I don't think there was a big lead up to that. I think it was pretty, almost quite sudden. It was like, hey, Lego Mario's a thing. And then, you know, a month later, here it is, kind of thing. Yep. So yeah, could be quick. Anyway, that was just an interesting rumor, I thought, since we were already talking about rumors, that caught my attention. And the next piece of news that I had on my list was that there's going to be a Pokemon Presents event, sort of an online direct, I guess you could call it, next week. We're launching this podcast on Monday. It will be tomorrow. It will be Tuesday, if you're listening to this on Monday. So it's the 8th of August, basically. And no details as to what's in it, but it's likely that it'll cover, you know, the Pokemon Scarlet and Violet DLC, I imagine, will be in there, the Hidden Treasure of Area Zero. There's two parts to that DLC, so I think it's due out in October. And, or at least there's a part one in October. I'm not 100% sure if they're both released at once or not, actually, but that seems likely. I don't know what else would be covered, and what sort of Pokemon fan are you, Kurt? Because I know Justin is a huge Pokemon fan. How do you fare with Pokemon?
Aside from a review of a DS game a while back, I've never played a Pokemon game in my life. I have nothing against it. It's just something about it. It never really appealed to me the way it has others. Mm-hmm. So my knowledge of it is very limited.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know the popular names and I know the general take on it. Oh, and is that the one where there was the cartoon with the people who always shot up into the sky and became a little star and disappeared? Team Rocket, is that right?
Team Rocket,
is that
this thing? Yes.
Okay. I know them.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but that visual of them flying up into the sky after something goes wrong and becoming a star flash.
Yeah.
will follow me to my grave.
Yeah, Team Rocket. I love Team Rocket. Yeah, they're great. Yeah, that's cool. I think there's not a lot to go with this story at the moment. It's just I happened to see it literally 10 minutes before the show. I just saw, oh, there's a Pokemon Presents coming very soon. So I thought I'd just bring that to everyone's attention. If you're listening and you're into Pokemon, it's a 35-minute presentation, I believe, which is why I think it'll cover more than just the DLC.
Yeah, there's. I think there's got to be something bigger to announce, right? It does say the official word that I have here in the email we received is that it's mm-hmm. it's about a half an hour of Pokemon news and a spotlight on the latest happenings across the brand.
Mm, cool.
That's all I know.
Yeah, I don't know whether these kind of showcases include the card games or not, or if it's strictly the digital side of things, as in the games, the apps, whatever. Not sure about that because the card games are still hugely popular. And I mean, I'm not, I have some cards. My kids have thousands. I don't know, a lot of cards. It's still very popular, but I don't know whether this covers cards and merchandise as well. But I have a feeling it's more of an online digital presentation about things like, well, maybe they'll talk about Pokemon Sleep actually, since that just launched. Yeah.
Maybe.
Which we've talked about, and I have forgotten to actually even use since then, since a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, that's a thing, still exists. Yes. Anyway, so listen out for that. If there's anything that big that comes out of it, we'll talk about it next week, but we'll see how that goes on August the 8th. So for now, let's go into a couple of new games. So every week, for listeners' benefit, Nintendo sends us a list of all the games that are coming out on the eShop for the week, and this is usually... I think Fridays most games come out, but not always, but usually. So we post this to the site to give readers a chance to see in one spot all the games that are available this week. And there's usually a couple of highlights, and two highlights this week that certainly caught my eye were WrestleQuest. I almost want to say WrestleQuest for some reason.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to say.
WrestleQuest.
Yeah.
Sounds like some kind of new fashionable vegetable that you might eat to... A lot of protein and not much flavor. Gonna have some WrestleQuest.
Yeah, it does actually. It's good. I don't want to try that though.
No.
Yeah, let's not have the WrestleQuest, but let's try WrestleQuest and then Brittato. Ah, look.
Oh, Brittato. Yeah, speaking of vegetables, there we go.
Yeah, there's a bit of a theme here, but yes. Now, WrestleQuest, I thought of you instantly because it's a wrestling game, obviously, but it's also a sort of an RPG-ish game. And I know this is very new on our radar. We don't know a lot about it, but I know that you, Kirk, love wrestling and you love RPGs. So instantly I'm like, this is a game for Kirk. So what do we know about this? Have we heard anything?
I've heard a bit. I've watched trailers. It looks like mm-hmm. it comes out on August 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it appears it combines RPG combat with wrestling moves. So it's looks like it's going to be like turn-based kind of combat, except instead of casting magic spells and attacking people with swords or what have you, you're doing pile drivers and possibly Hirakaranas and Tope Suicidas and whatever.
You know the lingo.
I do. I know some of the lingo. Yes.
So good.
But the interesting thing too is that it looks like it has actual wrestlers from the past. The press releases and the entry at the Nintendo eShop, they specifically mention Macho Man Randy Savage, Jake the Snake Roberts, and Andre the Giant. The trailer shows wrestlers such as Diamond Dallas Page and Animal and Hawk. So who knows who else is going to be in there? But the strange thing too is that although they mention Randy Savage, it looks like in the trailer I saw they were referring to him as Muchacho Man, not Macho Man.
Right.
So it's unclear to me right now who they have the license to actually use. I know a lot of these WWE stars. Their trademarks for that character is tightly owned by WWE, and they're not going to let it out to a game that isn't actually making money for WWE. So I don't know how they're going to be in there, but boy, if you watch the trailer, you know exactly who they're referencing.
Right. Yes.
So yeah, I would be curious to take a look at that to see who shows up, how much of my childhood is going to appear in this game.
Yeah, interesting. So it's kind of like classic old wrestlers, not newbies. Is that what we're saying?
I didn't see any that are actively wrestling now. In fact, not to be morbid, but the majority of them are dead.
Okay. Yeah.
Like Jake the Snake Roberts is still alive, and he's mentioned. Diamond Dallas Page is still alive, and he was in the trailer, but not actively getting in the ring for anything more than a quick cameo somewhere to draw fans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it also looks like they're not wrestling. Like a lot of them were just helping. That you get them to assist you or teach you new moves that you're able to use as you level up. Basically, you're learning new moves from these people. So I really like the whole premise, I'm curious to check it out.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you like the premise because as I said when I saw it, when I posted the latest games, I'm like, yes, that is a Kirk game. Absolutely. So I will, I would love to know if it's any good. So hopefully you get a chance to actually play it. But it just seems right up your alley. So yeah. Interesting.
And it really is good to see a JRPG that's set somewhere other than the fantasy world, because even aside from this, now the wrestling, of course, is just a fun angle. But even beyond that, you hardly ever get that in anything other than a fantasy setting. There was a game I played a while ago called, I think it was Banner of the Maid, which was like a Fire Emblem style game that was set during a fictional take on the French Revolution. And that was wildly interesting to me just because it seems it was set in a world that was so different from what I was used to that I really got a kick out of that premise. I imagine I'm going to get a bigger kick out of the game set in the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. So is it set in kind of Earth, but in a wrestling? I don't know. Do they travel from wrestling match to wrestling match?
I couldn't glean that from the trailer. Yeah, are they just like going from venue to venue and pay-per-view to pay-per-view to do this? Or if it's actual world where, just wrestling is the way people solve their problems.
Yeah.
Which would be a good world. Cool. I'll take that over some of the methods that we use in real life.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. It's interesting because this is the second kind of crossover style RPG we've seen in recent times, because I'm playing that Shakespearean crossover at the moment.
Oh, so. Yeah.
Yeah. Now we have a wrestling one. So, yeah. So that's This Way Madness Lies is the one I'm playing, which we talked about last week. And, yeah, now we have WrestleQuest, almost said Crest. Hopefully this is the beginning of a bit of a trend where we have, I say beginning, but you did mention another one that was a bit different as well. But it would be cool if there was more of these types of games. And hopefully if they're popular enough, there would be some more entries into this kind of field where it's crossing over between not so much your classic settings, like you said, like taking it the JRPG formula and putting it into something different, like wrestling. Like who would have thought? Last week I did not know this existed. I never would have guessed, and now here it is. So,
It snuck up on me too.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, so I think that sounds really fun. And if listeners have it's not out. Well, it comes out tomorrow again. If we're launching on Monday, we'll be out tomorrow, Tuesday. But if listeners have had a chance to play it, feel free to leave us a comment to say if it's any good. we'd love to know your thoughts on it. The other highlight of this week's list was something called Brotato. Do you say potato or potato?
I say potato.
Who says potato? Do people actually
say I've never heard anyone say it that way aside from the phrase where we're debating how to say it.
Yeah, okay. Well, Brotato. So it is about a potato. I don't know what his name is, but he is a potato. And this is do you remember me talking about Vampire Survivors a few weeks ago?
I do.
Yeah, it was in that Nintendo Direct. And it was something I talked about last year with Roger. It's a popular online game. We were debating whether it could make it to the Switch or not. And this is based heavily on that. So essentially, you are Brotato. Let's call him Brotato, the character. Don't know what his name is. And you go through waves of enemies who attack you from all angles. And I have played this not on the Switch because it's literally just come out. This is a surprise for me. But my son Hayden has it on his tablet. So it's a mobile game currently. So I've had the chance to play it. He's been loving it the last few weeks, actually, which is why it sort of caught my eye on the Switch release list. And it's really fun. You basically go through 20 waves, at least on the tablet version. And there are 20 waves. Each wave lasts for a certain amount of time. So you have to survive, you know, like 20 seconds, whatever it is. And the enemies, there's more and more enemies with each wave. And they're bigger and harder. They start shooting at you. And they just, it's sort of a rectangular arena that you can wander around. And they just appear from all angles. And you're sort of in the center. And you can move around. You shoot automatically. You just have to control your Brotato's position. But he shoots, he fires at enemies for you. So you don't, it's not necessarily a twin stick shooter in this case. You're not actually aiming your shooting, at least not in the tablet version. Maybe the Switch will have twin stick shooting, which would be pretty cool. Like control your angle of, you know, controlling your character with one stick and then controlling your shooting with the other stick.
Yeah.
I think that'd be neat. Otherwise, you're just controlling your character and he's shooting automatically, which is also fine. But I do love a twin stick shooter.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it here on the eShop, and it does say that there it has auto firing weapons by default with a manual aiming option.
Cool. I love that. I love that it gives you the option. So it's like taking the existing game, you know, transferring it to the Switch. So if you like that experience, you can emulate it here. But if you want more of a challenge, which I think it is more of a challenge, but you know what? It's like driving stick, right? You know, driving a manual car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have one.
Me too. I prefer it. I like the control.
That's the argument I make every time someone tries to talk me into not getting one.
Yes. Thank you. We're on the same page. So I'm very interested in the Switch version. I'm probably going to pick it up. I did check in with Trev to see if it was a review game. I'm very happy to review it. If not, I'm going to pick it up anyway because I just want to compare it and see if it's how it translates to the Switch, because it is a fun time. And as I said, I've been kind of hoping Vampire Survivors would come to the Switch, and it is. I think it's coming out this month, actually, August, later this month. But this, in the meantime, is pretty much the same formula, and it's super fun. And as I said, I really like twin stick shooters, and it's not, you know, it's not a shooter in space. You're not fighting off aliens in a spaceship. This is on the ground. It's just a different style with enemies just coming at you. And you, at least in the tablet version, you can upgrade your weapons really, really easily. You collect sort of, I don't know what it is. It's like green coins or something. And you, at the end of each wave, you purchase different weapons, different upgrades, different abilities. You can merge your weapons, which is really cool. And they kind of level up a bit. You've got a whole lot of stats, like 20 different stats to upgrade, from like melee damage to health to your range. I mean, there's just so much there. Yeah, which makes it really fun. My only question, because I haven't really played a lot of it, is I don't know what happens after wave 20. I said this to Hayden. I'm like, what happens after wave 20? Do you just stop playing? Like, is that the end? So it's, I don't know if it's endless or if he said there's a boss fight around that point. So, and then the game kind of ends. But I imagine the Switch would have more than 20 waves unless because, yeah. What were you going to say, sorry?
Yeah, I was going to say, I would certainly hope so. Because I think especially if you've got manual controls, you would probably be better. It would be easier to play that way unless they're ramping up the difficulty if you control it like that. But then, yeah, considering the waves last, and again, according to the eShop description, they last 20 to 90 seconds each. Mm-hmm. So if you're getting good at it and leveling up your weapons as much as it sounds like you can based on what you said, then some way to continue playing after you've finished that 20th level.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'll endeavor to try that one out on the Switch and see how it goes. But yeah, definitely a highlight. It's out. That one is out now. So that came out on the 4th, I believe. And yeah. give it a go if you're into that sort of thing. But yeah, I'll definitely be giving it a go.
And it is only $5.99 or $4.99. Yeah,
$4.99. It's a budget title, really. It's quite cheap. Which, you know, when you can download it, I don't know if I should say this because, you know, we're Nintendo fans here, but you obviously can download this for free on a mobile smart device. So there'd have to be something to make it worthwhile for the Switch. So that's why I'm very interested to see how that translates. Yeah, which means that's why I imagine there's more than 20 waves. I think there's probably a lot more to it, even though it's still cheap. $5 is nothing really, but still. Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. I'll report back. I mean, I think it's going to be a bit more, you know, on the tablet, it's, you know, you have to use the touchscreen to just control your dude, and that's it really. So it's fun, but there's not a lot of control, whereas the Switch obviously has the twin sticks, so I imagine it's going to be a lot more fun, probably a bit easier as well to control your character and a bit more nuance to it. So yeah.
I mean, at the least, you're not going to have your thumb in your way while you're trying to figure out who you're shooting.
Yeah, exactly. Because that does happen.
Yeah.
It does happen. Yeah. I'd prefer to play it on the Switch. So it's okay. That's cool. And I mean, I love that the Switch is, we do get a lot of ports from smart devices on the Switch, you know, for better or worse. But I think mostly it's for better, you know, because not everyone's playing. I mean, I know Justin mentioned he's not a mobile gamer. I mean, you and I aren't really mobile gamers. I play Mario Kart. You play Fire Emblem. That's probably about it, right?
Yeah, as far as regularly, I have Apple Arcade, so I try things every now and again. But yeah. Apple Arcade seems to be going a different direction with the kind of content they're bringing in than the kind of thing that I like. So,
okay, which direction is that?
More towards, and it's not surprising. I'm not criticizing them, but just more of the casual kind of gamings. There were a couple, and this will be a conversation for another time, but there were a few absolutely outstanding games that I played on Apple Arcade. And I would love to see them. And a lot of them have, a lot of those games are coming over to consoles. But not the ones that I was looking at. So maybe we'll make that a topic one day for the types of Apple Arcade games that should be on the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually a really cool idea. Yep. Maybe for the magazine. Hey.
Oh yeah, sure.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. Some have definitely come across. I think we were talking about one recently from Apple Arcade. I don't remember what it was now.
Yeah, but yeah, I can't recall.
There's plenty. Yeah. So I like it when they do pick good ones that make sense and are fun and can widen that audience a little bit. And given the Switch's popularity, it makes sense to bring it across and increase that audience level.
Yeah. And the Switch versions, often you'll pay just once as opposed to like the in-app purchases. They get rid of them. So I would much rather pay $5 like for Brotato or $10 or even $15 for something and then not be hammered with, in-app purchases throughout.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, me too. Definitely prefer that method. Much prefer it. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, $5 is not a lot at all. The only issue, I suppose, is that, with the list of games that comes out every week, it's quite a long list. So a lot of these, it's easy to miss them basically. Which is why some of them are highlighted and why we try to bring them up as well. So if you haven't seen that one, it is available now. Those are some games that have just come out that we're eager to try, but now we're going to talk about some games that we are playing currently. And the one that I've just, you just looked at my review actually. So I'll be posting that very shortly. It'll be up by the time this podcast launches for sure. And that is something called Super Dino Blasters. And this is a platformer. And if listeners are familiar with me or the show, they will probably know I love platformers. I would say it's my favorite genre because I'm a Mario aficionado. I love my Mario games. Super excited about Super Mario Wonder. But this is a little indie platformer that just came out recently. It's a budget title. It's speaking of, you know, budget titles as we were with Brotato. I want to say Brotato. I don't know why. I've never said potato. Just Brotato.
You're being pulled over to the dark side. Next, you're going to be driving an automatic car.
No, that won't happen. We won't let it. But yeah, Super Dino Blasters comes in at only $2.99, this one. So it's a steal. It's a little cheap bargain title. And it is, I mean, you know, it's it's a smaller game, obviously, at this price. It's not a long game. It's only about an hour or so's worth of platforming. But it is a cute little fun title that I enjoyed my time with. And essentially, you're a little astro robot who goes to a planet of dinosaurs to rescue an astronaut who's called in for help, basically. And you're roaming through several different, you know, environments on this planet looking for, it turns out there's four astronauts lost here. So you're sort of searching for them, but that's more of a side quest. Really, you're just getting to the end of the level. And when you get to the end of each level, I think there's about, you know, 10 or so levels. It doesn't really tell you, it doesn't say level one, level two. You just go through all the levels until you get to the end. And there's a boss fight, which is kind of cool. And then it's the end, the credits roll. So it's a fun time while it lasts. There's a few things I really like about it. For example, the retro style is really cool. And I particularly like that even though it is simple, you know, 8-bit-ish graphics, they've done a good job with varying the backgrounds of each level. So sometimes you're in kind of a wood, you know, a forest area. Sometimes you're in an icy kind of area. Sometimes you're underground in a cave kind of theme. And they vary some of the platforming associated with that as well. Like there's an ice world that's slippery, like Mario games. You know, when you're on the ice levels, it's, you know, noticeably different. You actually slip and slide on those platforms. And sure. then there's an underground level that has a minecart section, which is pretty neat. The other thing I really like is that the enemies are all dinosaurs, and there are all different types of dinosaurs, triceratops, brachiosaurus. I think there's some sort of, I'm not so good with dinosaur names, but there's something that looks a little like a raptor or something, like a two-legged thing that runs quickly. There's a few different types. And maybe even, I don't think there's a Tyrannosaurus. I think the boss might be a Tyrannosaurus, actually. There's something else that's a bit like a small Tyrannosaurus, maybe an Allosaurus or something. And what I like about these.
You say you're not good with dinosaur names.
But I know.
You absolutely nailed them.
I did just name it quite a few. Yeah. I'm watching lots of kids' shows that talk about dinosaurs and, you know, going to the museum and stuff like that. But what you do is you have a laser cannon or whatever that you carry, like an arm cannon, and you shoot the dinosaurs, but they don't die. They just go to sleep, which I find really sweet. I just love that. I love that element. Yeah. It's really nice to see a game that's not violent at all. And I think it makes it much more accessible for children. So basically the dinosaurs fall asleep on the ground. The other thing I like about that is they then wake up after, you know, 30 seconds or so, which means you kind of have to move away from them or put them back to sleep. So otherwise there is a danger of roaming around sleeping dinosaurs. So there's a lot of little cute elements to it. The other thing that, and you know this already, Kurt, because you've read my review, but the other thing is it's super retro, not just in its graphics, but it has a password system. And... when you finish a level, you're given a password, basically a code to put in. So that if you turned off your Switch and came back to it, you could put that password in and start from that level that you're up to. And they make a lot of fun of this. Like they put in the text below the password, oh, the devs were too lazy to create a save state. No, it's just the 80s or whatever. They're just making fun of that kind of thing. So it's very tongue-in-cheek that way. And I mean, I didn't use it too much because I just kind of played it through. But I did come back couple of times and I did put it in, and it's only, I think it's like 8 or 10 characters, and I had taken a photo, like an image through the Switch of the password, so I could just easily revisit. So you can write it down, obviously that's what they were going for back in the day, back in the 80s, I guess you would write. And I think the game I'm thinking of is Kid Icarus, I think had passwords, right?
Oh, in many of them. I haven't played Kid Icarus specifically, but yeah, boy, there were a lot. Even Tecmo Bowl had passwords.
Right, there you go. So you'd write down the password and put it on the fridge or whatever, and then, you know, or you'd have like a notebook or something. I think I used to have a notepad
by the TV.
Yeah. So it's a cool little throwback that I liked. So you can tell a lot of love has gone into this game. My only kind of criticism, and this is, it might be a personal preference, but there's a few little, this is not a personal preference. There are a few little glitches that kind of mar the experience a little bit. Like I got to the end of a level and suddenly I disappeared and returned to the beginning of the level. And I don't know if that was done on purpose because it didn't look like there was a portal or a hole or anything. It just looked like a normal platform. And then suddenly I was whisked back to the beginning and had to do it again. Another time at the start of the level, I went left, you know, to the edge of the screen instead of right, which probably you're not meant to do, but well, why not, right? In Mario, I would explore every avenue. And so I went left and fell down an invisible hole and got stuck there. So you can easily just pause it and restart. So it's not a problem. And that they were probably the only two that I can remember. So it's not like it's riddled with glitches, but there are a couple of little things, little bugs maybe that need ironing out. And the other thing, that this is the personal preference, it just, the character moves quite slowly. And again, this might be because it's aimed at a younger audience, I don't know, but it felt a little too slow for me. Like, it was a bit frustrating. You can run, you can double tap your D-pad to run. So I did that and it was fine. But I think I'd prefer like a run button like Mario rather than a double tap, because it's just a little bit clumsy, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But those are the only issues. And as I said, it's a budget title. It's $2.99. So I think if you're a fan of platformers and you want to support an indie developer, you should check it out. And my review will be up, if you can read all my thoughts, even though I just explained them all to you. You can read my thoughts online on purenintendo.com. But yeah, I had a fun time with it. It was a nice little break, a little platforming experience to tide me over till Mario comes out in October. So yeah, I'm guessing you hadn't heard of this one before my review.
No. I went into it blind and yeah. Everything you said in the review and repeated here, they makes it sound like kind of a fun, engaging sort of game. So yeah, give it a shot. And the little guy, like when I see the images of him, he reminds me of the dude from Dig Dug.
Yeah, he does actually. Yeah, he definitely has that look. Yeah, to him. Yeah, and I think I did. There are astronauts you can find. So it's kind of some side quests that keep you busy. If you wanted to replay it, you could do that. And you get a password. I don't think I put this in my review actually, but when you find one of these four astronauts, you get a password. And if you put that password in, you get to play as those astronauts. So your character becomes like the pink astronaut or whatever instead of the robot. So there's a few little tidbits that keep things interesting and give you a bit of variance, I suppose. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's the game that I've been playing this week and that I'll be posting my review very shortly. What about you, Kirk? What are you playing at the moment?
The game I am playing now is an old game that I don't even think I knew it was available for the DS, because I played it on the iPhone or iPad called Might and Magic Clash of Heroes.
Right, I've heard of this, yeah.
It's a derivation of the Might and Magic franchise, which goes all the way back to 1995. Those were like turn-based strategy games. They were, I can't remember the company that started it. Eventually it was turned over to 3DO. And after 3DO closed down, then Ubisoft bought the franchise and they kind of changed it up quite a bit from what I understand. There was one game I believe I played that came out for the Mac. That might have been Heroes of Might and Magic 5. But those games are removed from what Clash of Heroes is. This is a... It's kind of like a puzzle strategy game. There's a story behind it. You play as different characters. So it's kind of like an RPG in that regard. There's a whole story you go through. And as you move around the map, you're moving in little nodes as opposed to like having freedom of running around. And whether you end up clashing with someone or you just reach a battle that's part of the game, you end up with your army, which consists of, it starts with just like one or two types of infantry units, and then it expands and you get like legendary heroes that you can also use. But the combat is, you'll be on the bottom of the screen. You're on the bottom half and the top half is the enemy and you're facing each other. There's a center line where you're facing one another. And you have to align your troops basically to do certain things. If you align them horizontally, they combine to create like a barrier, which is going to protect you from the attacks that are coming from above. If you align them vertically, then you position them for attack. And you have to align them in like at least three. They can go up to four horizontally. You can't go four vertically. Actually, you can if you have like two and then one in the middle and then another two. If you remove the one in the middle, then the others will connect.
Does that make them stronger if you have four compared to three or two?
I'm going to go back on what I just said. I don't think you can connect okay. four. It's going to be three, but right. there are some units that take up like two columns.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, and then you have to stack four people behind it, two rows of two. Mm-hmm. And then those four all combine into one unit and then attack. But yeah, if you don't combine them, they're just sitting there vulnerable.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then obviously then when they get hit, they have less defense and they go out. But so the strategy is you have to push past everything in front of you and have enough health left to be able to hit basically like the baseline. And that's what takes damage away. If you're going up with someone that has like 70 health, every time you hit, you're knocking away on that until it mm-hmm. gets down to zero and it's gone.
And do you have but the then, health yourself?
Yes, you do.
And you'd want it to be higher than 70, I guess, in that example.
If you get down to zero, you lose. So it's whoever gets down there the fastest. The higher yeah. your level, the more health you're going to have. And you can get accessories that increase it. Like there's one accessory you get early on one of the paths, which adds 15 health to yourself. Very useful to have. But you can only equip one accessory at a time. So you may swap that around depending on the type of enemy you're up against, because there are a lot of different unit types that can achieve different things. There are some that are so powerful that they can pretty much wipe out anything in front of you, but it may take six turns after you combine them for the attack before that attack is actually unleashed. So you get time to hammer away at it, because even if you don't eliminate it, you could take down its attack so that when it finally does go, it doesn't have a lot left and can't do as much damage.
Mm.
But there's just a ton of strategy in this game as to figuring out, do I defend here? Do I attack here? A lot of it is luck too, because as you combine people horizontally to turn them into barriers, for example, or send them off to attack, obviously you're using up your units. So you can replenish them. It takes a move to replenish them. And depending on how many you've combined and how many you've lost, that'll determine how many come into the field. But when they drop in, you have no control over where they come in. So a lot of the game is the luck of the draw. You may get one of those units that I mentioned where you can stack four behind it. But the moment that appears, the colors have to match. Another thing I forgot to mention, there are different colors and you have to stack mm-hmm. units of the same color type, which is basically their unit type. So if the wrong colors appear behind that unit, you have to waste your moves getting those guys out of the way so you can put your other people in. And that's one of the things, of course, every time the enemy does this, it always seems that he's getting perfect placement with the right yeah. people ready to go. And mm-hmm. you're just screaming at the TV about how unfair this game is.
Yeah.
But you know, whether it's actually unfair, it just seems that way when it happens. I'll let whoever's playing this game help me decide.
Yeah. How many levels?
And then
they
even change it up, because they'll have like quests you have to do where there's like one where you don't have to destroy the enemy behind it. You have, mm-hmm. there are locks at the top and you have to perfectly time two attacks so they hit the lock at the same time. It's not that hard to set those up, but if he has barriers or enemy units in front of it, one may not get through. So then you got to start the whole thing over again and try to line up two more people for the perfect attack. So just, it's an absolute blast. And we got this review opportunity and I added it to our review pool and people mm-hmm. didn't claim it for a while. And I thought, you know, maybe I will take this again. And I thought, man, I'm so glad I did this, because I'd forgotten how much fun I had with this game.
Nice. It does sound like a really good combination, the puzzle, strategy, RPG. Yeah. I'm looking at the screenshots as you're talking and it looks really cool. Yeah. I do like the concept.
You can see the different characters that you have. You're controlling a knight. You're controlling an elf. And each one of them has different abilities and different unit types. And there are five throughout the game. So you do one chapter, you clear that up, move on to the next. And then you start basically at the very beginning again, but with a completely different unit type that has different strengths, different weaknesses. So you're kind of relearning your strategies each time you complete a portion and then move on. I haven't gotten to the end yet, so I don't know if everything comes together or not, mm-hmm. but I hope to get there soon because it's just great. I haven't completed Pikmin yet, and I've completely moved over to this game.
Wow.
And lost focus on Pikmin for a while because I'm getting so into it.
Wow, that says something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it says it's like a 20-plus hour long story mode, so...
It's taking me much longer than that. I can't say why. The other funny thing is like some of the battles could be over in 3 minutes. If you get like perfect alignment and you get lucky and they don't have their defenses in the right spot. I was doing one today that was just a standard battle and it seemed like both the enemy and I were focusing on defense and it was just taking forever because we could not get past each other's barriers whenever we finally got an attack.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. You can play multiplayer though, right? Can you do?
Yes. Yeah. I haven't done that yet. But yeah, there's both local and online multiplayer.
That's cool. Yeah, that'd be interesting because then you're not playing against AI. Although if you're still getting, if one person's suffering from, slightly unfair drops in your sort of sections, and the other person's getting all the good characters or whatever. Yeah.
No, that's your defense when you lose, right? Well, you got better drops than I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that sounds really fun. So did you say you had this on the DS? Or no, you played this on the iPad or something previously?
Yes. Yeah, I played it on my iPad. But yeah, it was released on the DS. This was even before the 3DS.
Right. Wow. And this is the definitive edition that's now on the Switch.
Yes, looks like they bundle some more things in and have extra abilities. For example, like the I'm not sure the multiplayer was available for iOS.
So. Yeah, true. Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. Yeah, it looks really good. Mm. Definitely looking forward to hearing your thoughts when you're done with it. But it sounds pretty positive.
So, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be surprised if this isn't one of my 5 favorite games of the year.
Oh wow! Nice. You should write that down now, so that when we talk about games of the year later this year.
That's true. I'll bring this one up again.
Yeah, because I mean, I need to do that. I need to write down games as I go.
Yeah, do you hate having to go back to all your reviews and remind yourself of what you like and what you didn't? Because we play so many games.
That
it's just hard for them to stick.
It's true. It's true. Because, there's a whole year's worth of games and we do, a few a month kind of thing. So it adds up. So
yeah.
Yeah, I've lost count. I probably can't even remember what I did last month at this point. So. Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you for that. Might and Magic Clash of Heroes. That does sound very, very fun. We're almost at the end of the show. So I just wanted to point out a couple of little... I like this. Now, tell me if you don't like this, because I have a fascination with like historical kind of references, like today in history kind of thing. and I thought... this is particularly, relevant because Pikmin 4 has recently come out. We've been talking about Pikmin a lot recently. But Pikmin 3 is – so today we are recording on the 4th. This won't drop till the 7th. But for us it's the 4th. And Pikmin 3, it's the 10th anniversary of Pikmin 3's release on the Wii U today. So I didn't know if you knew that. But I like these
I did not.
Yeah.
I did not. I remember buying it the day it came out.
Yeah. There you go. Well, it was 10 years ago. It was 2013, 4th of August. So it seems like last week, I think it was the Pikmin, Hey Pikmin anniversary. So, and then Pikmin 4 obviously just came out in July. So maybe this is like when they tend to release Pikmin games. I'll have to look up when they released Pikmin 1 and 2, but maybe a mid-year release schedule for Pikmin seems to be
It's a summer game, at least where I am. Maybe that explains why they never have any snow levels in Pikmin.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's always sunny and happy.
Yeah, exactly. This is a side note, but a couple weeks ago we were talking about Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and characters we'd like to see. And do you know how often I keep referencing what you said about Pikmin being – well, you said Olimar, but then I said what about Pikmin being drivers?
Yep.
I just keep thinking about that. And the more I think about it, the more I want it. Pikmin driving a Mario Kart.
Well, hopefully Nintendo's listening and we'll
– hopefully.
We got them thinking about it now.
Yeah, exactly. The other anniversary, which isn't doesn't relate to Pikmin or anything else we've talked about, except to RPGs, I guess. But this is such a big game. It's such an influential game for me, at least, is the Secret of Mana RPG. Celebrates its 30th anniversary on the 6th of August, so this weekend. 30 years, that's the Famicom release in Japan, 1993. Wow. I just, that game was such a significant title for me growing up in the 90s, just playing. That was one of the first, apart from Zelda, that was like the first kind of RPG experience, like a proper, is it an RPG or a JRPG, this one?
I'm going to go JRPG, but yeah. I haven't played it, so I can't say for sure.
Okay. You haven't played it? Wow.
You know what? I did. What was, they had a demo for one that they released for the Switch a while ago. Was that Trials of Mana? Was it Collection of Mana?
There was a demo.
I went through that a bit, and I think there was just so much else going on at the time that I never actually completed the purchase.
Wow, there you go. Yeah, Secret of Mana was definitely a big title for me. One of my favorites of the Super Nintendo era. I loved it. So yeah, I just can't believe it's 30 years old. There you go. So that's a little anniversary to celebrate this weekend. By the time you listen to this, it's already happened. But just think back to your time with Secret of Mana and reflect and enjoy that. Yes. But as I said, I just like thinking about these, especially when they're big, like 10 years of Pikmin 3, 30 years of Secret of Mana. They're pretty significant numbers.
Yeah.
That contribute to the history of Nintendo, which I love. So yes. Anyway, was there anything else that you had for me or for listeners, Kirk, before we close off?
No, I think that was it. I'm trying to think of the games that I'm looking forward to that are coming out, and they're all too far off to mention at this point.
There is a lot to look forward to for the next few months, definitely. I'm so excited to talk about them as they come up. Whether it's Vampire Survivors or, you know, Mario RPG or Mario Wonder, plus a whole lot of others, I'm sure. But yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot going on, and it's just great and exciting. And I can't wait to play them and talk about them. But thank you so much, Kirk, for joining me today. It's been a pleasure, as always, chatting all things Nintendo with you. Thank you, listeners. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review on one of the audio platforms, or you can like and subscribe on YouTube. We do launch every Monday, as I said, so look forward to more episodes in the future. But if you do want to leave us a comment or a question, we'd love to hear from you, and we will answer any questions on air as well. But until next time, thank you again, and game on, everybody. Bye.